before there was...
You know, Adrian.
There was a couple of films, or were a couple of films, for Sylvester Stallone. And one of them, one that made his name, and those of a couple of other actors as well, was called The Lords of Flatbush, a real sleeper film, especially around the neighborhoods where I was born and came from, and folks in New York, because it told the street story of the locals and what it was like in the 50s, and the DuckTales and the pre-Fonzie era and all that. Well, that movie just didn't spring from nothing. It came from an idea of a fella who is on the phone with us right now. His name is Stephen Verona, and we're very happy to have him in the neighborhood to talk about The Lords of Flatbush and his life after making that movie. How are you doing, Stephen?
Great. No complaints.
Well, this is very good. This, by the way, how old are you, by the way?
Oh, 67.
67. Are you in good health? Is everything good?
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent.
Great.
Can't complain.
So now let's roll it back about 30 to 35 odd years now, I guess it is.
35 years, yeah.
So The Lords of Flatbush came about how?
Well, I grew up in Flatbush, and I grew up in what was then termed a motorcycle gang, even though we really didn't have very many motorcycles. And in those days, you know, you wore either a leather jacket or a fraternity sweater. And it was my decision at that time to wear the black leather and hang out with these guys called the Lords of Flatbush. Well, when I got older and I decided I was originally doing music videos, and I started with the Beatles, and I eventually went, God knows how many albums.
You have to speak up a little bit, please.
Maybe 150 videos that I did.
Oh, my God. This is before the MTV generation.
This was 1966.
So, actually, let's hold it right there.
13 years before MTV.
You mentioned the Beatles. We've got to start there instead. You shot the Beatles doing what?
No, I didn't shoot the Beatles. I did an animated film.
Uh-huh.
It was actually stop motion. And I did the drawings.
Uh-huh.
And John Lennon and I colored some of them in. John didn't color all of them in, but some of them. I colored in most of them.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to another, and John said that this is better than the old TV show Mitch Miller and the Bouncing Ball, because I was illustrating the lyrics in the song. And if you remember, Mitch Miller had a show called Sing Along with Mitch.
Of course, yes.
And they had the lyrics would be on the bottom of the screen, like a karaoke is today, and a bouncing ball. And John thought that my drawings and my stop motion illustration of the song was far more interesting than the bouncing ball. So he said, you should show this to Mitch Miller. And I facetiously remember saying, I don't think he takes my calls. And
yeah.
John was good enough to call, and it basically changed my life. We went up to Columbia Records, showed Mitch Miller this video that I did, which is now a video. In those days, it was a promotion film.
Mm-hmm. What song, by the way, was it?
The song was called I Feel Fine.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And anyway, that I sold that book of drawings a number of years ago at Christie's in auction. And just now, some of them have come back up in auction. Now, the gallery that bought them has put some of them up for a lot more money than I sold them for, as usual.
Okay, well, yeah.
So anyway, the way this all turned into Lords of Flatbush was that one day I opened my refrigerator, and instead of having peanut butter and jelly, I had short ends of 16-millimeter film and decided I got to do something with this. So I decided to make my first feature. And you just don't sit down and write a feature. You have to do something you know. That's what everybody tells you.
That first one has to be write what you know, what you've experienced, and what you feel. Yeah.
Exactly. And I had been single for many years, and I used to regale girls with my misspent youth in a black leather jacket. And a lot of those stories, you know, if they went over well, went into the movie. If they laid an egg when I was trying to impress somebody, they didn't make the script, you know.
That's fair.
So that's how it all came about. And then it was the arduous task for 3 years of finding the money, which is a terrible thing to have to do.
Oh, yeah. Constantly. How much was the capitalization on it? I mean, films were cheaper back then.
Honestly, the film cost $161,000.
From soup to nuts, including editing?
That was everything.
Wow.
And let's see. It was $161,000. Sylvester Stallone, Henry Winkler, Larry King, and even Richard Gere were paid $241.50 a week.
A week. Oh, okay.
A week. And the funny thing is that Richard is not in the movie, was paid more than Perry King or Henry Winkler.
Because he was on set more, but he just got cut out?
It wasn't even on the set. It was in rehearsals. And Richard and Sly were the original leads.
Oh.
And we would constantly be rehearsing, and I would tape them, and then we'd rewrite them and change it and do this and do that while I was looking for the rest of the cast and especially the money. And it got to a point where Sly and Richard did not get along very well.
Oh.
And Richard had to be replaced, and that's when Perry King came in, and that's just when I had gotten the money to start production.
And you were the producer and the director of the film.
And writer, yes.
And the writer, my goodness.
And also put up most of the original money that I got from when I did the videos for CBS, and Clive Davis was then president of Columbia Records.
Yeah.
So the money I made on those films, I put into Lords of Flatbush.
Now, and you had done all these short videos, these promotional things, these music videos. Was doing a feature anything like that, or was it beyond? I mean, did you come home every night and say, oh my God, I'm going to shoot myself?
I'm going to shoot myself. You know, with big bullets. I mean, yes. Yes. It was a nightmare.
And did you think 100 times, I'm never going to finish this?
Oh, I thought for sure I was going to end up homeless.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I was putting all the money I had in it. And I kept saying, if this film fails, where do I go? What do I do? Mind you, in 1974, when I was shooting when I shot the film in 72.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit in 73, but it didn't come out until May of 74. And, you know, you have to survive during that period of time. And you wonder what happens if the film doesn't make it. Where do you go? What do you do? And nobody's interested in a failed film director.
Right, because what you read about when you read interviews in the papers with directors, they always say, oh, on that first film, I maxed out all my credit cards. And then they finished the film, and then some studio picked it up and distributed it, and blah, blah, blah. But you have to wonder about all those people who maxed out their credit cards and didn't finish the film or had a real disaster, and then, look at the, you know, declared bankruptcy and are working at Burger King or something.
Yeah, well, they're saying, would you like fries with that?
Yeah. But you finished the film. You absolutely did.
I finished it, and we sold it to Columbia Pictures, and it became a, you know, number one at the box office.
Oh, wow.
And Henry came out here. Henry Winkler came out here and became Fonzie. Because of that, that helped us to sell more television showings, et cetera. Then Sly, of course, became Rocky. And the rest was history. Here I had the biggest star in movies and the biggest star in television. In my little 16... My film was shot in 16mm, mind you. Not 35,
right.
Like most movies. And then blown up and released, and nobody really knew that the original was in 16. You couldn't tell. Plus, the grittiness of the movie.
Right, it worked for the visual.
It all worked fine. So I was very lucky in that respect.
And so, do any of the actors get any residuals at all? Or
yes, of course.
Oh, they do. So they work for that salary.
Yeah, it was all done through Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, cool, okay.
And the $241.50 a week.
Uh-huh.
Was half of the minimum, and then the deferred was double that.
Ooh.
So they would shoot for 5 weeks, so you can add it up very quickly. They only got about $1,300-$1,400 for 5 weeks of shooting, but they would be owed the complete, let's say, $2,600 later on, which eventually they were all paid handsomely.
Okay, well, good.
They handsomely, according to the, you know, the times.
Now, did you do any films after?
Yes.
They were?
Yes, I did a film called Pipe Dreams that starred Gladys Knight. It was the only film on the Alaskan Pipeline.
Oh, okay.
And my favorite film was a film called Boardwalk, which I shot in Brooklyn also, like Lords. And that starred Ruth Gordon, Lee Strasberg, and Janet Leigh.
Are those available on DVD?
No. Boardwalk is not. What happened was the film was made independent, which is the way I made all my films, and sold them when they were finished. When Boardwalk cost a lot more money, so most of the money was put in by my friend and investor, this man from England. And we decided to go with a small distributor because we felt my film needed tender, loving care, and it was not something you put into 4,000 theaters and try and make it all back over the weekend. It was a strong story about an elderly couple. And so we went with a small distributor, and unfortunately that distributor went bankrupt. And our film never saw cable, never saw DVD or VHS, and it's still wallowing around. Now I just got the rights back 2 years ago. It was inherited, you know, the libraries were passed from distributor to distributor to distributor. It got to Universal, and I knew the president of Universal, and I was able to acquire my film back. I immediately called up the other studios, Paramount, et cetera, and they weren't interested because the actors were dead. And I was flabbergasted because, I mean, these are the people, you know, Lee Strasberg.
He was in The Godfather.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. He was in Godfather. He thought Marlon Brando, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino. I mean, you name it. He was, you know, the head of the actors' studio. So not to have, what's the word I'm looking for, just to honor these great people.
It's so short-sighted, it really...
Yeah, it's strictly business now, and that's the sad part. The art of it has been sort of drained away.
Speaking of art, one of the things that you're occupying your time now with, instead of film, is going back to, well, pre-film photography.
Yes.
So is that your main thing now?
Yes. I'm doing a lot of photography. The Getty Museum has recently acquired my work.
Oh, wow.
Last week I had a show with the book signing of The Making of the Lords of Flatbush with pictures, photographs that I took back in 1972 of Richard Gere and Sylvester Stallone, Henry Winkler, etc. Sylvester Stallone was wonderful. He came to the opening.
Oh.
He came at exactly 6 o'clock. It was a 6 to 8 show. He stayed for well over an hour. He signed some autographs. He signed my book as well, along with me. He ended up buying 80% of the photographs hanging on the wall.
Wow.
So he was a true friend and a gentleman, and I was totally
flattered.
That's nice.
That is very... Do you have other nice stories about some of the artists that you've worked with, even in your music video days?
Music video days?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the people, the names.
Oh,
that,
Johnny Cash.
Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, Leonard Bernstein, Johnny Cash, yeah.
Yes, I worked with all of them. Simon and Garfunkel, Santana.
So let's hear some stuff about them. So either nice or not so nice stuff.
Oh, they were all great.
Okay.
I never really had problems.
Great.
Yeah. The easiest thing is for people, if they want to, go to my website, you know, which is stephenverona.com. I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. And it goes into a bunch of things on there and shows you some of my photography, some of my paintings, some of my videos.
And that's Stephen Verona, Stephen with a P-H.
P-H-E-N.
Right, Verona, like in Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
StephenVerona.com. And can people get your book there, too?
They can get my book on Amazon.com.
On Amazon also.
I don't know if I have the link up yet from my website to the book.
So what would you say?
Amazon.com and just put in The Making of the Lords of Flatbush. And what's interesting about The Making of the Lords of Flatbush is there are lots of books when you go to the bookstore on movies, but very few of them will chronicle a movie for 35 years from the time I thought of the film, more than 35 years, from the time I thought of it to the eventual writing of the script to finding the money to making the film, to the success, and then the eventual auditing the studio, chasing them for your money, fighting them, and then the, you know, settlements and lawsuits and screaming.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's a never-ending battle when it comes to the studio.
But when you look back on it, I guess because it gave you a career, was it all worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, just checking. You know, you make it sound pretty
hellish. Most people think it's a cakewalk. Most people think, well, I want to make a movie, you know. Oh, my God, it's so exciting. Well, I don't know if you've been on a movie set, but it's pretty boring. It's, you know, there's a lot of time involved waiting for the cameraman to light the set, you know, and you're sitting around, and the director is, you know, is busy because he's working, you know, with the actors and rehearsing and making sure the costumes are right, and et cetera. But someone who walks on a set and just stands there and looks, they get bored pretty quickly.
Would you ever, you're only 67, would you ever make another movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Do you have any thoughts on what you would, or do you have a plan?
The thing that I've realized is Lords of Flatbush is a character study of four guys in motorcycle jackets. Boardwalk was a character study about an elderly couple who lived in a neighborhood that was once a neighborhood you moved up to.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 50 years later, it's not safe anymore. It's just a microcosm of a lot of neighborhoods in America. And it's a story of love and survival in that neighborhood when you're old. And Lee Strasberg and Ruth Gordon, you couldn't get two better actors for that role, for
right.
those roles. And it was really a powerful, dramatic movie. That is not the kind of film that you see today in the multiplex. You know, it's all teenage comedy or murders and suicides or gang warfare or science fiction or stuff like that. My films are character driven.
Right.
So, yes, I would love to make more films. And I think the world is ready now to come back away from those tentpole movies, you know, with special effects and get into good stories and good performances.
Well, I hope that you're right, for everybody's sake, including yours, Stephen Verona. I want to thank you so much for being with us in the neighborhood, you who are the original Lord of Flatbush.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.